Well, hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Dan Bolger, pastor at Cascade Covenant Church, and so glad that you could join us, whether you're here in North Bend or the Snoqualmie Valley or beyond. And we're going to have our worship team join us on stage here and start worshiping God together. But before we do, join me in a quick prayer. Lord, we are so grateful just for this beautiful day that's outside and just for a chance to gather. Even though we're all sitting in the comfort of our home, we're still gathered as your people. Won't you unite us, Lord? Won't you watch over us and bless us? And we just pray that you'd receive these next moments, Lord, as a sacrifice, as an offering, as worship to you. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen.
You welcome to Cascade Covenant. My name is Lindsay, and I'm one of the pastors here, and we are so glad that you are with us, whether you are joining on our YouTube page, on Cascade Cove, or on our Facebook page. We're so glad that you're watching or listening in this morning. As we move into worship this morning, I just have a couple of announcements for you because this is our new normal, being online together, and so I just want to make sure that we all remain connected during this time. And so I want to draw your attention to our church online website because this is really a great place where you can get all the resources that you need during this time and stay connected with us, whether it's seeing our recent midweek minute with Pastor Dan, which is just a short video word of encouragement from him that will be posted on Wednesdays, or maybe it's linking to our YouTube channel or our Facebook page. You can do it all from right there. But then I also want to draw your attention to the three other buttons that you might see there on the page. The first is our give button. About half of us, half of our offering comes in the offering baskets on Sunday morning, which means that about half of us are going to need to adjust our giving routines during this time. And everything you need to know about giving or how to give in the variety of ways is found right there on that in that link. So you'll just go to that link through and then figure out what works best for you and your family. Prayer, how can we be praying for you this week? How can we as a staff and as a team be praying for you during this time? We would love to pray specifically for you and your specific needs. So please click on that button. It actually will take you to an email to all four of the pastors, and we'll be lifting you up during this time. We also have a virtual prayer team that's going to be launching this week. If you want to be on that team, I want you to be on that team. So please email me, and we will go ahead and get you connected. And those folks are not only going to be praying for specific needs, but they're going to pray for every person in our congregation by name every week. So it's an awesome opportunity for us to lift each other up, and I would just encourage you to get involved if that's what you'd like to do. And then finally, the care button. We are really excited. I'm really excited about a new program that we're launching this week called Neighborhood Care Groups. We want to stay connected during this time, and it is not possible for us as a staff to reach out to every single person in our congregation, which is why we are forming this new ministry called Ministry Care Groups. We've divided our church database into neighborhoods, and then we've asked two or three leaders in each neighborhood to just really be the stewards of that neighborhood, reaching out and connecting on a weekly basis. Because even though we can't be together on a Sunday morning, we still want to do life together, and we still want to care for one another in important ways. And so that's how we're going to do that. But in order to, we actually need to be in touch with one another. So this morning, we sent an email around 9:30. It was a reminder for our live stream this morning, and it only went out to our church database. So it only went out to people that we actually have in our database. And this is slightly different than the email that sometimes or often goes out on Fridays. That was a larger list of people. This was a very specific church database list. If you did not receive today's email, but you do call Cascade Covenant your church home, then we need updated contact information from you. We need a better email address so that we can reach out to you. So here's what you need to do, and I'd encourage you to pull out your phone and do it right now, or else you're gonna forget. You're simply gonna go to our website, and in the upper right corner, there's a contact button or contact link. You're gonna click on that link, and it's gonna take you to this page right here, and you're gonna just fill in your name and your email address. And then we're gonna get in contact with you this week to make sure that you are on that list and in our community church database. If you live locally and you want to be included in these neighborhood groups, we would love to include you in them. So please reach out this week and let us know who you are, and we will reach out to you back. I'm going to be sending more information about these neighborhood care groups this week, so please be looking for an email from me as well as from your neighborhood care group leader. All right, the last thing is if you live locally and you need care today or you need help this week, we want to be able to help you. So whether that's running errands or picking up groceries for you, or maybe it's rent assistance or utility assistance, please let us know. You simply click on that link on the website that says care, and that's going to email me directly, and I would love to visit with you and be able to help you out this week. So please take advantage of that. Okay, so those are the announcements, and typically, at this point in the service is when I say, hey, kids, we're going to invite you back to class. Man, kids, we miss you. Pastor Angela misses you so much. If you did not watch the video from her this week, I would encourage you to log on to Facebook or YouTube and watch that video. She misses seeing you weekly, and we miss seeing you too. She's going to be sending parents, Angela is going to be sending out emails to you on a weekly basis. It's an awesome way for you and your kids to stay connected and not miss our Sunday school lessons. So please be looking for that. But then the next thing I always do is I say, hey, everybody stand. It's time to say hello to one another. And so since we don't get to do that as a group, I just want to say hello, that I miss seeing your faces every week. And I would love to hear from you, whether it's, you know, shoot me a selfie so that I can wave back to you, or maybe it's an email this week. We would love to hear from you because we do miss seeing you. So with that, I'm going to say thank you again for joining us this morning, and we're going to continue in our worship together.
Christ doesn't change, and his hope, our hope, is found in him. Jesus, it is in your power that we stand. It is in you that we find hope. It is in you that we are connected together as a community, God. Help us to draw on you, to depend on you, to fall at your feet, to do all of that in and through Jesus who binds us together, God. Amen.
Well, hey, thank you, worship team. So appreciative of all the hard work that you've done this morning and throughout this week. And I want to welcome you again. I'm Pastor Dan. This is Cascade Covenant Church. And in Washington State, we know that our shelter in place order is probably imminent. So what you see happening here this Sunday might take on a little different look for next Sunday and the weeks after, but we'll continue to make content available during the week and also here on Sunday, so you can count on that. And as you may have noticed, our strategy has really been to empower people on a local level in our neighborhoods to care for one another, and we want to utilize technology as much as possible to share the hope and to share the faith that we have in Christ. We know that Christ is with us now, and Christ will be with us in our next life with him as well. And 3 weeks ago, we started a new sermon series out of the book of Psalms. And last week, it's hard to believe, I was on vacation with my family in California during our winter school break like a month ago. We came back exactly a month ago. I can't believe how much has happened since that time. We're definitely in a new space. And so last week, we called an audible and diverged a little bit to talk about faith, hope, and love and how important those are to us, that we can trust in God, that he gives us hope, and we can share love with others. And this morning, I'd like to offer a message that follows on the heels of that, of choosing faith over fear. So I haven't diverged from Psalms totally. In fact, last week, I was going to share one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 93, and at the last second, I decided to kind of change plans. And then I received an email from YouVersion. YouVersion is the Bible app that many of us have downloaded on our phone. So many of us, there's like 400 million downloads globally of YouVersion. And it's more than just a Bible app or Bible translations. There's tons of content on there. Emails you can sign up for. You can sign up for reading plans. There's lots of contents from pastors, from worship leaders, from Bible scholars. And so I got this email from YouVersion, and it had this encouragement from it. Directly from the life of Jesus when he calmed a furious storm. And so as I read through that this week, I realized how well it fit into what I wanted to say about Psalm 93. And so this morning, I'm going to shamelessly borrow some of their insights and incorporate them into my message for you this week. And it has been, definitely, another up and down week. You know, most of us have resigned ourselves to the fact that this is going to get worse, definitely before it gets better. And it's weird to see people that I know and care about kind of falling into two different camps. There's the people who have lots of downtime on their hands, like my kids, and like teachers and others of you who've tried telecommuting and have just given up. And then there's the other group of folks who are so frantically busy. You know, if you work at a grocery store right now or a hospital or a brokerage firm, man, I pray for you. Things are hectic and stressful, and it's hard not to feel overwhelmed. But one of the hardest things for all of us is just simply not knowing how long is this going to last? Amen? How long is this going to last? And whether you're bored, whether you're overwhelmed, whether you feel like you're somewhere in the middle of that spectrum, the stress is definitely real. But oddly enough, I've heard from a growing number of people who've been surprised by a silver lining in all this. I mean, all health concerns aside, those are real and they're scary. I've heard from folks saying that the pause all of this has forced on us has had a surprising effect. It's kind of reminded them of what really matters. And it turns out that most of us are preoccupied with what happens next. You know, the next person, the next event, the next thing. And this pause in our daily activities has meant that we're able to be present with who we're with. We're able to be present with where we're at. We're able to be present with what's happening in our life. And that's such a powerful reality, just that God has given us the gift of now. But the stress and fear are still very real. You know, the book of Matthew is one of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus and his life, something that there's four of them. We call them the Gospels. And in chapter 8, Matthew records what happens when the disciples and Jesus decide to get on a boat and try to cross the Sea of Galilee. So let us put this slide up for you. This is Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Then he, Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. That's the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. So we can easily picture the scene. Jesus and his disciples are in an open bow fishing boat. And at the time that this happened, those boats would have been about 25 feet long and, I don't know, six-ish or so feet wide. So kind of long and narrow, long and skinny. And the Sea of Galilee is a large inland lake, and it's known for fierce and sudden squalls kind of sweeping across it. But lucky for Jesus, many of his disciples were fishermen by trade. So we're talking very experienced on the Sea of Galilee, grown up around it, grown up on it. And the Gospel of Mark records more details of this episode. And it says that the waves were so big that they were beginning to break over the bow of the boat. So the boat is being swamped, it's taking on water. And clearly, if you're one of the disciples, this is time to hit the panic button. You know, I can just see some of them trying to play it cool, like, we got this, just, you know, let Jesus keep sleeping in the back of the boat. Nope, time to get up, Jesus, save us. We're gonna drown. So I personally didn't have the luxury of growing up near water. I grew up in Iowa, so I'm a landlubber like no one else. And the thought of being in a storm at sea is simply terrifying to me. So the closest that I've ever come was as a kid when my family took a trip to Voyager National Park. Voyager National Park is a system of lakes, a group of lakes that's way up on the Canadian border in northern Minnesota. And my dad had wanted to take us fishing. I don't remember much of the fishing there, but I do remember a few things. I remember seeing a black bear for the first time, kind of exciting. I crossed the border over into Canada, legally. And I also remember being at the front of the boat. My dad, I think, had strategically put me there because I was probably bugging him. And he's like, just go look out the front of the boat, make sure that we don't run aground. We don't hit any big rocks. And so one evening after we'd been out on the water all day long, dark storm clouds started to form. And so those of you that have been to the Midwest or Texas or anywhere where thunderstorms kind of develop in the summertime, this is what happened. Big, dark storm clouds. And we decided that we needed to get back to our campsite, back to the lodge as soon as possible. So we pulled up our gear and set a course for home. So the particular fishing lodge where we were camping was situated like on the other side of a huge lake. And the lakes in northern Minnesota have lots of islands, and that's kind of where we were fishing. And then we had to cross a couple miles of open water to get there. And my dad had rented this little aluminum fishing boat. And at the time, he could choose from a 15-horsepower putt-putt motor, or a 25-horsepower motor, or a really go-fast 35-horsepower motor. Guess which one he chose? El Cheapo took the 15-horsepower putt-putt motor, something I would have done today, right? I'm not going to pay for that extra horsepower. So here I am, as a kid, sitting in the front of this fishing boat, looking back at these billowing clouds looming on the horizon and wondering why my dad hadn't rented a faster boat. It was terrifying. Obviously, we made it back safely, and I've never rented one of those boats ever again in my adult life. So I can identify with the disciples here a little bit. They're in the middle of a sudden, life-threatening storm. And Jesus is sleeping. Sleeping in the back of the boat. I mean, can you imagine? Wake up, Jesus. This is pretty serious. And instead of taking a cue from Jesus' reaction to the storm, the disciples instead focused on the storm. And it makes me wonder, what was going on in that boat? Were some of the disciples like, hey, this is no big deal. We've been through lots of these storms. And others of the disciples were like frantically working around, tying things down on deck. I've definitely noticed this tendency in myself and also in others. In fact, I found that I even get annoyed. Like if I find someone who I think isn't taking this seriously enough, I'm definitely annoyed with them. And then if I see someone who's definitely taking this too far, I'm annoyed with them as well. I'm probably the only person on the planet who feels that way. But after staring at the storm, after wondering about the storm, after feeling overwhelmed by the storm, the disciples finally wake Jesus and ask him to do something. Do something, Jesus. And did you notice? What's the first thing Jesus did? Did he calm the storm? No. He asked them a question. Why are you afraid? Pretty obvious answer, Jesus. Because we're going to drown, right? Why are you afraid? And YouVersion Bible app had this to say about Jesus' question here. We'll put it up on the screen for you. They said, his gentle rebuke over their lack of faith wasn't because they didn't believe Jesus could save them from the storm, but because they struggled to believe he would see them through it. Let me read that again for you. His gentle rebuke over their lack of faith wasn't because they didn't believe Jesus could save them from the storm, but because they struggled to believe how he would see them through it. You see, that's my challenge too. Do I believe Jesus could save me from the coronavirus storm? Yes, absolutely. God's big enough. He's powerful enough. He can do anything. So why am I afraid? Because I'm struggling to believe how he's going to see me through it. It's the difference between from and through. Yes, sometimes God saves us from whatever challenges or circumstances or storm that we're facing. But Jesus always sees us through it. Sometimes he saves us from it, but he always saves us through it. And so when we find ourselves in the middle of circumstances we can't control, how can we choose faith over fear? I want to provide you a few things to remember for this morning. The first one is this. God has power over every storm. God has power over every storm. And one of my all-time favorite psalms is number 93, and I often turn to it when I'm feeling uncertain. And it begins by simply reminding me that God reigns. He's in control. And so I want to read this psalm for you. It's also one of my favorites because it's only 5 verses long, which is awesome for a psalm. But it goes like this. The Lord reigns, he's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. Verse 3. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. And finally, verse 5, your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. You see, that psalm, in my mind, is like an anxiety sandwich. Okay, we've got total freak out in the middle, surrounded by calm on each side. And it's easy for me to imagine being in a little boat when a squall comes suddenly out of nowhere and you're shouting to the Lord, the seas, you know, look, did you notice, God? The seas have lifted up. They've lifted up their voice and their pounding waves. And with those seas, you just feel the anxiety of the writer rising as well. But the psalmist writes, the Lord reigns. He's simply saying God's in control. He's in charge, even over the chaos that we might feel. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, the Lord on high is mighty. So rather than continuing to just look at the threat our storm poses, we can pray. Pray that God would save us from it, yes, but also know and trust that God will see us through it. God has power over every storm. And the second thing that we want to remember this morning is that fixing your eyes on Jesus leads to peace. You know, the disciples in the book of Matthew finally ask Jesus to do something, and he does. He brings them calm. He brings them peace. Peter was in the boat on that day, and it makes me wonder if his memory of that moment was in the back of his mind years later when he was writing to Christians who were very nervous, who were very afraid. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter writes to them, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Cast. I just have to think, you know, Peter, the fisherman. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There's an old hymn that I remember from a kid, when I was growing up, singing it often. Turn your eyes on Jesus. And the first word, the first verse in that hymn, it goes like this. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free. Then the chorus goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's a metaphor, of course, saying trust that God is with you. Turn your attention towards him. You see, we can choose what holds our attention. We can fix it on the news, social media, the stock market, or other things out of our control. And obviously, just because we're alive, those things are going to capture our attention. But we have a choice over what holds our attention. We can change the mental channel and turn it away from our troubles and instead intentionally look to God for help. We can pray and ask him to be with us. We can express our fear to him and ask us to give us peace. Pastor Angela has a saying that I've heard her say it before, but in the last couple weeks, I've heard her say it more often. And she says, you know, we may be surprised by this, but God isn't. The coronavirus may have caught us off guard, but God wasn't caught off guard. So we can invite him into the fear that we feel and ask him to give us peace. Remember, God has power over every storm. Fixing our eyes on Jesus leads to peace. And finally, remember that Jesus is always, always in your boat. Jesus is with you. He's with me. You know, that's one of the reasons why I follow him. It's because I've invited God into my life, and in a powerful way, I can sense, I know that he's with me. And it's the power of the incarnation of God taking on flesh and walking among us. Christ knows our pain. He's felt it. He's experienced our fears. He truly understands. And so it's very easy for us to lose our focus when our future feels like it's out of control. But Christ calls us to live by faith, not by sight. He calls us to live by faith. So let me encourage you this morning, even though this is a really uncertain time, you're not alone. You're not alone. We're all in this together. And we may be asked very soon to shelter in place to avoid in-person contact with one another. But we're not alone. We're in this together. Jesus is with you, and he's with me. And God hasn't forgotten. God hasn't overlooked. God hasn't abandoned us. He's always in our boat. So before I close this in prayer and invite the worship team back up to sing a final song, I want to share a couple ways for you to respond. And Pastor Lindsay talked about these earlier in the service, but I want to put these back up for you. This is off of our webpage, and you hopefully are able to notice that at the bottom there's give, pray, and care. And so one of the ways that you could respond is simply by giving. Like any small business, we depend on people coming on Sunday morning. And so we're just reminding folks to continue to give. And very encouraging news came this week. I got a call out of the blue from some of our leaders in Chicago, and they said that someone anonymously offered to pay the church mortgage for the next 3 months. And so that was a shocker. If it's one of you that's watching this morning, thank you. I don't know who you are, but such a huge blessing. Those are just, you know, you stress about stuff like that. We all are. And so for that to just be taken care of is a major anxiety, a major something off my shoulders. And these are other ways that you can give. More importantly than this is that next button, pray. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. So if you'd like to get a hold of the pastoral staff, you'd like to get a hold of me, please use that button and contact us. We would love to be in prayer for you. And then finally, care. And Lindsay talked about that at the start of the service. For as many as you that you can or that are living locally, we want to help care for you and empower you to care for others in your neighborhood. So click on that button or check your email to find out more information about that. Now, join me in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we just simply acknowledge that these are uncharted waters, these are uncertain times, and it does feel like a giant storm is brewing. And for some of us, we're still staring at the storm, we're still wondering about what's happening. Others of us have already started experiencing it, we're feeling overwhelmed. So help us, Lord, not to fix our attention on the news or on what could go worse. Help us to fix our attention upon you. We want to remember that you are more powerful than any trouble, any circumstance that we could face. We want to remind ourselves that when we fix our eyes upon you, you can give us peace. Peace in the midst of any challenge that we might face. And finally, Lord, we just turn to you this morning and invite you into our situation. Invite you to take our fear. We want to choose faith in you. Help us to do that. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen. Thank you.
your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. This week, first off, we're just so grateful, so glad that you're joining us today. This is how we meet, right? This is how we gather. And even though our church building is closed, that doesn't mean that the church is closed. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people on Instagram Live, in Zoom calls, in emails and texts, just encouraging one another, connecting and having fun, even though we're maybe separated. So that was this past week, but we're just going to keep doing this. We're going to keep meeting. We're going to keep connecting, right? All online. So there's some different ways you can do that this week. CascadeCov.com obviously is our website, so you can access connecting with us there. We've got our Facebook group, Facebook.com/CascadeCov. We have a YouTube channel, which is just Cascade Cove, all one word. And just please be checking your email. That's our primary way of getting a hold of you, right? We want to connect because you're worth connecting with, right? So God helps us love him, and he helps us love others well. And we want to keep doing that together in this time. So as you go from this place today, just know that you're not alone. Know that God cares. God is with you. Christ is with you. So let's come back together, same place, same time next week. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you later.